Called order this regular assembly meeting in the city of Boyle Glen, Alaska on August 23rd, 2016 at 7 p.m. Pledge of allegiance this evening will be led by Assembly Member David Powell. If you remain standing for the invocation to be given by Nellie Colwalter of Presbyterian Church.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please join me in prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we ask that you be gathered here with all of these people and those who listen and those who care about our town. With all the issues, whether big or small, may we remember what is best for our town and best for even our families and our country as we make decisions. Be with all those who take the time out of their life and hold office or come and are invested in different programs or issues in our town. But the people who care are the people that keep us going. Be with everyone and make them safely arrive home. We ask this in your son's name. Amen.
Thank you. We have no ceremonial matters this evening. Roll call, please.
Assembly members Blake?
Here.
Persaka?
Here.
Rooney?
Here.
Decker?
Here.
Powell?
Here.
Mitchell?
Here.
And Mayor Jack?
Here. Amendments to the agenda. First, I'd like to make, since Mr. Rang is here, and under new business item 13G is the last item under new business. I'd like to move that up above item 13A so he doesn't have to sit here through the whole thing.
Mr. Mayor,
yes.
I have an amendment to the agenda. I would like to move 13D or postpone it to the next meeting.
13D. D is in Donald or B?
D is in D. Dog.
Dog, Donald, dog.
It's actually called Delta.
Okay, since that was out of your request, I didn't see no problem with that.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I'd like to amend the agenda to add new item 13H for discussion possible action on the Tongass Plan and Resource Management Plan Amendment, draft record of decision.
Since it doesn't involve money or anything of value, I see no problem in adding that to the agenda.
So this is 13H.
Item 4, conflict of interest. Does anyone have any conflict of interest on any item on the agenda?
Mr. Mayor, our business has a contract with the hospital, and my wife is employed by AICS, which the hospital pays part of her salary through a contract that they have with the emergency room services, and she is the chief of staff for the hospital.
Would the item under discussion on the agenda this evening have any bearing on your wife's income?
No, I don't believe it would.
And I don't see a conflict. Yes?
I think a potential perceived conflict on the agenda 15A. Options for disposing of the belt freezer facility. We fish for Trident Seafoods, and a Trident employee is on the board of directors that I work for.
Okay. Well, again, the question is, will that make any difference monetarily to your situation?
No.
then I don't think it's a conflict. Thank you both for bringing that up. Any others? Consent agenda.
I move to approve those agenda items listed under the consent agenda, and those marked with an asterisk, 6A and 7A.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Full vote, please.
Assemblymember Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Pasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. And moving on to item 8, Rural Manager's Report.
The main news here is the, I'll read something that our Public Works Director presented and is in my manager's report. City and Borough of Wrangell currently has a sufficient treated water supply and regular water use may now resume. We thank the community, both residents and businesses, for their strong conservation efforts toward this end. And even though we are saying you can do those, you know, just please don't waste water and please keep conservation in mind, but you can resume doing normal things that you need to do. So, and again, especially both seafood processors would like to thank them because they went above and beyond and in a very critical time of their season to make all this work, and along with the residents. But anyway, we've made it through the processing season, and just some updates, several things on the water side. The water treatment plant pilot study is ongoing. We're getting near finishing that up, and it looks like the pilot plant that we have in there is working awesome, and it looks like that's probably the direction we're going to go for a regular plant. The existing water plant, it's likely that even though we've had some really good news on funding of the new water plant, it's just by the time you do the engineering and DEC approvals and bidding and all that construction, it's not going to happen by next year, but it very well could happen by the following year. So we're taking several steps at the water treatment plant in discussions with our water engineers. And so they're doing two things, the modification. This was kind of Wayne's idea, the treatment plant operator. And they've done some modifications to that to do some things that will improve the roughing filter because it wasn't working exactly like it should have. So we're making those changes. The other big thing is you have 3.5 feet of sand, and that's never been changed and cleaned or anything else. And we were able to clean, you know, a portion down, but you just can't go down that far with what we're doing. So they have done this in the past at other places. So you're not having to take all the sand out and replacing it at $500,000. And what they actually do is they take, you've probably seen the mining dredge things where they have the big hose. They basically suction that out and it goes through a cleaning process, and then they stockpile in each sand filter. They stockpile that in a corner after it's cleaned, and then when it's all done, then they put it back. So it's something that we'll probably do this winter, and so hopefully next summer the sand that we have will be in way better condition and work better than we've had in years and years and years. So we think those two things, we'll be working with both treatment plants to things that they've already done to get a feel for what they're gonna need next summer. And we've looked at some other things, but you know, I think just cost versus performance, these are the things we've come up with that we think will make a difference. So anyway, that's kind of where we're headed.
Jeff, would it be possible for us to have, and now that we're over the crisis and things have cooled down, is it possible for us to get a report that sort of forensically goes back and looks at what went wrong? We came very close to having a pretty big catastrophe here, and you know, personnel change and things change, and it might be nice for us to have sort of a lessons learned from that, because what really struck me was when Wayne was talking and he said, we just might not recover from this one. And I don't know what that meant. I don't know if we all moved to Petersburg or we're drinking salt water, but that didn't sound really good from our water plant guy. And I would really like us to have it logically laid out, because I'd really like, there's a lot of stuff floating around the community, rumors of this and rumors of that, and it would be really nice. And I understand this, we gotta be careful not treading in personnel issues and so on, but I would really like something that lays it out in a logical fashion, so we can see what took place and how we wound up where we did, and learn from that for next year. Is that possible to do something like that?
Possibly. Like I said, I think the tricky part to that is doing that without, in a public forum, you know, discussing personnel and, well, this person should have done that, this person should have done that. You know, that's kind of at this level and me dealing with that, but we could probably come up with something in general. But I think you've just got to be careful there that, because generally the public and the assembly, I mean, you're not happy about how it was handled, you know, you can say, well, we need someone else here, and that's, you know, that's fine, but I'm hesitant dragging, even if there is fault or not fault,
I'm not looking so much for fault, I'm looking more for us to get a better understanding. So when I'm talking to Joe Blow in the grocery store and they ask me what the heck happened, I have a little better understanding of what took place. Was it that we mistakenly sold water to a cruise ship 2 weeks ago? That seems like a pretty small thing.
Right.
But we went from sort of 0 to 60 really quickly.
No, and I agree. I'll put together something and we'll bring
that'd
it back.
Be great. I'm not looking for names. That's not
okay,
my point
okay.
at all. And if that sounds like I am, that's not what I'm looking for. Okay. What I'm looking for is some kind of answers to what took place. Like maybe it's that our sand is really old and it's just not working anymore, or maybe it's that, you know, whatever. But
we
need a different system. But I'd like to just understand better, because we made it through last summer and the summer before and the summer before that. And this year we had a real catastrophe.
Right. And it was. I mean, I already know the answers, but I'll bring something back.
Perfect.
It was a combination. It was like the perfect storm. Everything that could go wrong went wrong, all at the same time. But we'll bring something back and list those things out. And I think if we'd known it was going to get to that point, certainly some of the things, the cruise ship and other things, we could have done something different. But
I suspect everything's under review, and I can appreciate that. But if there's something that you feel sensitive to, we can always bring that up in executive session too and discuss what went wrong. I agree with Steve. We've gone all these years. Was there so much more of a load this year that caused this, or was we neglecting on the maintenance that caused this? Whatever the reason, we need to figure out why and try to address that. You know, we can't afford to lose our canneries.
Right.
And it's a burden for the community. I went on the grid after this happened and had to pump salt water to wash my boat bottom.
Right.
You know, so, and these boats are out there fishing, they've got to have this water too,
right,
to keep our boats running, to bring the fish to the cannery.
Right.
So it's all related.
Nope, we can do that.
Thank you. The question I had is, during the cleaning that you were talking about, sucking all the sand out and piling it up, is that going to, because there's going to be less sand in there to filter water through as you're doing that, is that going to degrade the quality of water for residents coming out of the tap during that process?
No, there's four. During the wintertime, the usage generally goes down. The water quality coming out of the reservoirs is much higher, so it's you don't have near the turbidity in the water being treated. So in the wintertime, we do a lot better just because the quality of the water coming in that we have to treat is better. And they've got four bays, separate bays, and they can do one of these at a time and operate on the other three, and we should be fine.
Okay.
What happened to the pile of sand you took out? Is it, can it be cleaned up at the same time?
I don't know. We'll talk to him about that, because there is a pile of sand up there, and but we can ask him. I think three of the four bays have the kind of the right amount of sand. There's one, and I think that's the one that was taken out of, has not enough sand. So if we can clean all four of them and then fill the other one up with clean sand, if that's what we can do that with.
And I know you're probably looking at all the options, but why are we cleaning that with a four-wheeler and a rake instead of hydro? Why isn't there jets, water jets, stirring that stuff up and cleaning it during the cleaning process?
Well, I'm not sure it was ever designed to do that. I don't know.
Well, it seems like a fire hose and some water would be cleaner than a four-wheeler dripping oil and gas.
Well, I think, sorry. Go ahead. I was just up there, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead.
I was just up there and I stood by, and you know, from my understanding, talking with the guys, this was never designed properly in the first place. And our water is so turbid, and the turbidity increases so much in the spring and summer. And of course, as we draw it down, then it gets worse. So if, you know, and our highest demand is the time our water's the worst. So we had this situation going on and building up, but they have to get in and get this slurry going to get it all out and then manually pump it. But, you know, I'm with you. It's a cobbled together solution that is just barely working. So it'd be nice to have that pilot plant worked out, and it looks neat. I mean, neat as heck how it works. So.
And the water we're getting out of the pilot plant, even though our water you put in glass looks fine and stuff, but they had three, I don't know if you've seen the picture.
I did, yeah.
But there's 3 5-gallon buckets, and they have the water coming in from the reservoir, and it looks like tea. The next bucket looks pretty good, but it's our current plant. And the third bucket was the pilot plant. And if it wasn't for just, you could see the ring around where the water is, you couldn't tell there was water in the bucket. Mm-hmm. Like it's, I think Dave was, wasn't it like 10 times cleaner or
like
5 times?
Something like something. That, 10 times cleaner.
And, but, and no, the operating cost isn't that much more. Obviously the construction, you know, you're looking at some bucks there, but we've actually contacted a federal agency that they were actually encouraged us, hey, this, let's get going on this. And so we've got a funding source we believe that will work, and so probably some of that will be loan money and some of it will be grant money. But
well, I just want to also be sure to commend the workers up there, because they're pretty short on manpower. I mean, you couldn't cut it much more and have somebody to flip a switch. There are 1.5 employees up there and 1.5 down, in my understanding, at the other.
Yeah, well, there's someone in charge of the water plant, someone in charge of the sewer plant, and then there's one person that kind of helps each other. And they'll help.
Right.
All three of them will go.
I understand,
somewhere.
But it's 1.5 employees here, yeah. And 1.5 employees there, and the guy's floating. And so they literally don't have enough people sometimes to do the operations that they have to do in Borough. And so they've done a heck of a job, and my hat goes off to them. I appreciate the amount of time they put in.
Any further discussion? Okay.
I just had a question on a different topic on your report.
Sure.
Did I see that 3rd Street is on the list to be paved?
Which one is?
3rd Street.
Well, just that first section.
Yeah. The bad section.
Well, they should be up there. You've probably seen some surveyors up there.
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, they're, yeah. And I think that street, they're working on the housing hill right now. And the housing, we were just going to do a short section, the worst section there, and the housing come up with some more money to do the rest of it. And then, not all of it, but then some up on top, the worst part. I can't remember all the different streets, but there's about 5 or 6 streets, and they're doing just what they can with the money they have for just the worst portions of those, because that's the money we have. And
my neighbors will be glad to hear it.
So it'll be just above Warfels, going up the hill, back down to Mission Street. I don't think Steve Street's on the
He's gonna leave it dirt. I just bought a new four-wheeler thingy from Dave, so that'll work out well for us.
You come look at my street.
Go drive mine right now.
You know, one other thing I'll say is, you know, a day doesn't go by that someone doesn't come into my office and, you know, the city needs to do this. And, you know, the city would love to be able to do everything we could for every citizen. And the reality is there's just not enough manpower and or money to do that. I hope, you know, I know people take each one of those personally, that if you don't do them, and there's people... Now you know why city managers don't last very long, because you got to tell people no, and it just, you just can't do everything, so it's, I understand when people get upset that it's not, you know, their street or this pothole or this problem, but it is, and it's tough saying no. I'd love to help you, but it's the reality of the budget. So anyway, that's about it, unless someone else has some other questions.
Okay, the next item was under the manager's report was Robert Ring, from CEO of the Ring Medical Center, with the year-end financials.
Good evening, everybody. So I want to start off kind of let you know how we closed out the year. June 30th is the end of our fiscal year, just like it is for the city. Revenues were up for us, expenses were down, which meant that we were actually came out ahead of budget. So instead of having about a $250,000 budgeted loss, we actually made about $50,000 on the positive side. We just had an audit a couple of weeks ago with BDO, and they were in town catching us, and I think the city was also involved in that, but we'll have some updated numbers, but it looks pretty good. We had what they call a clean audit, which means that there's very little adjustments need to be made. So I'm pretty happy with that. With that said, however, we did close out the month of June with only about $500,000 in the bank. Part of that is kind of a combination of quite a bit of factors. First, for the last part of May and month of June, census was down. We didn't have a whole lot of volume going on, so that affected our revenue. Same time, Medicare said that we owed them about $155,000, so they quit paying us until that money was paid back. And the state was broken, so Medicaid wasn't paying us, and so that cost them. So that between Medicare and Medicaid, it was a little over $300,000 that we didn't collect during the month of June. So that added to affect our bottom line as well. However, we are on track. Things are going good. We're starting to get back on board with all that. With that said, we did close July with a little bit financially look better. Unfortunately, also July is also the month that all of our insurance premiums and all those annual expenses, and so there was a big chunk of money that we had to pay. So our revenues are starting to pick up a little bit, as well as our expenses, and so we're looking a lot better than we were a couple months ago. A couple things I would want to share with you guys of kind of things that have happened since I came on board. We've had quite a few mandated surveys. I'm sure you guys have been well aware of that. It started out in November, where Dietary had their DEC, the Department of Environmental Services, it's the DEC survey. They didn't inspect all the healthcare food dietary places. We did that in November with zero deficiencies. January, our imaging department had a accreditation survey, and they passed that with good standing. May, our critical access hospital survey, that occurs about every 3 to 5 years. They just show up one day and say, well, by the way, we're here to harass your staff for the next 4 days. We passed that with no major issues, which is a big change from the previous one that we had about 3 years ago. In April, I was followed up with our long-term care survey. This one was one that I'm very proud of my staff about. This ended a four-year streak that we had of getting immediate jeopardy deficiencies, which would cause some challenges with CMS, as well as our ability to even do CNA classes within house. So we passed that. As a result, I shared with Jeff and Matt Hospital Board that Medicare recently updated the website. It's called Nursing Home Compare, which is a national website. And our long-term care facility got a 5-star rating, which is the top block that you can get. And that's been a long time since our staff's been able to achieve that, so I'm very proud of them for that. In June, lab passed what they call a CLIA survey, which is something they go through with the mid-pick and pretty dip carefully. And only had one small issue with what they had, and it's basically a documentation issue. and then in July, another radiology exam through the FDA regarding mammography, and there's zero deficiencies on that. Our chief nurse, Sherry Austin, has been kicking butt on getting new nurses hired, so we're not getting less and less dependent on our travelers, which is going to decrease our costs extensively. Between this month and next month, we've got 5 permanent staff coming on board. We've got another one that's showing up in December, granted, so she'll come to us. 6 out of our 8 vacancies will be filled here before the end of the year. So that's a big change, and that'll definitely affect our revenues because, as we know, travelers are pretty expensive, as well as you've got the housing costs associated with that and everything else. I think that's pretty much all I've got here.
Any questions?
Where are we at with the city overdraft? How much are you into the city overdraft currently?
We borrowed $150,000 regarding the 2 pieces of lab equipment. We borrowed that. After I received approval from you guys, probably a month and a half later, we did borrow the money from the city. We've been paying back about $10,000 a month for the past 3 months, and so we're about $30,000 paid back at that.
Okay. And did that lab equipment come in?
It is, and we have been using it for the past 2-3 months.
Awesome. Those were my only 2 questions.
Oh. Here we go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 9, Borough Clerk's file.
Nothing to report other than what's in my report. No new declarations for candidacy. So we still have 2 vacancies.
I'm sorry.
2 vacancies for the assembly, 2 for the court commission, and 1 for the hospital board. The 2 are the unexpired 2-year term. So, and that the expiration for you threw me off, Jeff. The deadline for filing for declaration for candidacy is the 31st, 5:00. So.
Can I see if you can work under pressure here?
On this hospital board seats,
yep.
Where do all of these need to be filled?
There's 1 4-year term.
Yeah.
Just 1.
Well, because they reduced their number.
We reduced it from 3,
this is the
3
reduced.
To 1. And then we have 2 2-year unexpired terms. So it's a little confusing when you just look at it because it shows that there's 3 to be filled. But there's the 1 4-year normal term, and then there's 2 unexpired terms that need to be filled.
They need to be to get to the reduced amount.
To get to on track. Okay.
Mm-hmm. One question. Mm-hmm. Mr. Mayor, he filed for candidacy for the hospital,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Which seat did he file for?
For unexpired. The 2-year unexpired term.
Okay, and one of those is presently vacant, right?
Yep.
Or both of them are actually vacant.
Right, right.
And since it is August, and there is... I was just wondering if Mr. Mayor would be acceptable to filling one of those seats in the meantime until the election.
I can absolutely send him a letter asking him that.
Great idea.
Then there will be 1 down that way.
Well, it's still right. Right now.
Right at mm-hmm. this point.
It's mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good idea.
And then,
since it is August and the election coming up in October, that's within. It's less
well,
there's
than 60
only 1,
days. Right, only 1 already. Meeting, I think. In the
so
is
there
2?
Well, September, and I would assume October is also.
Well, October will be the election, so.
I don't see much point in advertising at this time.
Mm-hmm.
It just costs the city money for nothing, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
So, nobody's going to want to sit on that seat for a month,
right.
Basically.
Right.
So.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I just hold off advertising until after the election and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
That seems reasonable to me.
Yeah.
And that's all I have, unless there's any questions.
Anyone have any questions on that? Okay. Item 10, Mayor Assembly Reports and Appointments. Is there any reports by any assembly member? Yes.
I went to AML last week, their summer meeting, and it was kind of interesting. The number one takeaway was that we can't stand to have inaction next year by the legislature, that somebody needs to get a plan together. The governor came and spoke and presented his plan again, and it was very clear from all of his comments that he wrote that plan in pencil, and he really wants the legislature to get in there, roll up their sleeves, and figure out new revenue and how to cut budgets, and not how to shift the costs from the state to municipalities and others. So that was probably the biggest takeaway. They talked about the PERS and TERS and how they felt that they had done a pretty good job about getting them the legislators educated, and they are not as scared about them changing that percentage point. They talked a little bit about marijuana, and one of the things came up about transporting it. And currently, the legal system uses the U.S. mail to transport it. She was very quick to say that, you know, that they'll take it to court, of course, but, you know, do you want to be that person that gets arrested and goes to court? So, but every other case is one that has done that. So I think that's pretty much all that we talked about. Just a lot of wringing of hands. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Kind of thing. So.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes.
I just want to quickly update the community on SEPA. We have a meeting coming up in September. And in June, we had a relatively contentious meeting, finished on a contentious note in Petersburg. And we're going to be readdressing some of those issues in Ketchikan. And I would encourage anybody who has an interest in that to tune in. Basically, in a nutshell, the issue is that it would appear that Ketchikan holds a balance of power regarding the hiring and firing of our CEO as it falls on their year, when they have that uniform sort of three vote block. And so none of the other communities actually wield that power, but Ketchikan does. And so I'm going to be raising some questions about that. Of course, we can't really go in and rewrite the power sales agreement, but we need to take a look at how we can make that more equitable in some fashion. And I don't know whether it's a two-thirds, one-third kind of deal or what, but I don't think one community should be able to discharge the CEO unilaterally without a little more, some process from the northern communities. So that's going to be something that I'm going to be bringing up and addressing in the next meeting.
Yes.
Is there a serious discussion about letting Trey go?
The mayor of Ketchikan proposed it, but I would say it was in the heat of the battle that he wanted to let the CEO go, and also all of the staff, which he has no authority to say at all, but it was out of order and was during the motion to move the maintenance contract from KPU, Ketchikan Public Utility, to SEPA. And so he was not happy about that, but what became glaringly obvious to me is that whenever something comes up that Ketchikan doesn't like, this can become a battle cry for their contingent.
Yeah.
The mayor also appoints the people to the board, so he can create a block because he has the power to appoint those who he wants on the board. So it's I think our founding fathers never envisioned such a thing, but it became very apparent in Petersburg that that was a possibility.
Yes.
I wonder if you might consider like a required supermajority on particularly the CEO's contract. That might be helpful, and I mean, it sounds like it was more of like a threat than it was.
It was, but it was enough to stop the process, and that's what bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
I placed a motion on the table. It was there for discussion. When that threat was made, the discussion stopped and everything halted. We didn't move one step further until the lawyer decided that, well, we're going to table that, or we're going to move to table it, and we're going to move, take a look at it. That, to me, is not a democracy. That's a hostage taking, and I don't like it. So I'm going to be fairly firm, and I want to represent not just Wrangell, but as well Petersburg, that we can't have that much power centralized in one community. It was never intended to be that way. So I'm going to try to meet with the mayor, I'm going to get Clay, and we're going to get Bob Sievertson to come and facilitate a meeting, and I'm hoping that we can kind of reach an accord prior to the meeting, that we can come in with solutions and not just battle some more, because it's non-productive. So wish me luck.
Good luck.
Good luck. Wear a flak jacket down to Ketchikan.
Anything further? Okay, item 10B, city boards and committee appointments. We have an expired term on Planning and Zoning Commission, one. Economic Development Committee having an expired until 10/8/2018. And then we have the Nolan Sitter Board, which will be coming up for a vote in October, so we won't. There were no letters of interest for any of these vacancies anyway, so we'll just continue on with that, or without it, as the case may be. Item 10C, appointment to fill the vacancy on the Wrangell Medical Center Hospital Board, unexpired term until October 2016. There were no letters for that, but I recommended earlier about Mr. Mayor. And if Mr. Mayor is amendable to that, does any member of the assembly have an objection to him going right into that?
No.
That if he's amenable to that, we'll just go ahead and appoint him to it.
There was another person I talked to, Mayor, that might have shown a little interest in the planning and zoning, and that was Mike Allen. And I think if Jeff got on the phone, maybe you could coerce him to fill that position.
He wants Mark Dewey, though.
I can talk.
But we won't go. Okay. Now that takes care of that item. Okay. Item 11, persons to be heard. Are there any persons to be heard on any item on the agenda? There are none, so we'll move on to item 12, unfinished business, 12A, proposed ordinance number 920.
Oh,
never mind,
sorry.
There are no persons to be heard.
Still none.
Okay.
It's his fault.
Are you two married?
Twelve A, proposed ordinance number 920, ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 18.04.080, section 107.2, amended, permit fees of the Wrangell Municipal Code relating to building permit fees. This is the second reading.
I move to adopt ordinance number 920.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prusanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 12B, proposed ordinance number 921, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 5.08.060, tax-free days of the Wrangell Municipal Code to provide that the Assembly may approve one sales tax-free day each fiscal year. This is a second reading.
Move to adopt ordinance number 921.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
I've talked to several of the merchants in town, and going to one day, they feel, is taking possibly quite a bit of revenue from them. This is the one day a year you do away with the taxes, they put it on sale, and they can compete with internet sales. So you got Amazon shipping all this stuff in there. We're gonna lose a few thousand dollars in sale, but to think that their people are gonna stay here and buy those goods here instead of getting on the internet and order from Amazon, I think you were mistaken. So, and I was visiting with Mike at Century, and he said that's like the first and second biggest sales day they have. It's a huge revenue bringer. And I said, well, what's the profit? And he said, well, the profit margin goes down, but it's still a chance. They move a lot of inventory. They get rid of a lot of old inventory. They put the sales up, and they do make a profit because it's a high volume. So the merchants I've talked with want to see us stick with two tax-free days. And I don't really see the advantage we're getting by doing away with one of them. We're hurting our local merchants in the process of doing away with this day.
Was our budget,
go ahead.
Was the budget not specifically built with the one tax-free day being removed?
And we had estimated that's probably $20,000, something like that.
So not a small, I mean, smallish sum, but not super small, not $1,000 or $2,000.
Well,
but there's so many variables.
That's if you took the sales that happened on that day. And if you do away with the sales and the tax-free that day, you're not going to have that kind of quantity going through. So what I'm saying is if you took what the revenue we took and divided it by 365 days out of the year, it's a relatively small amount compared to that sales day. I know in my standpoint as a fisherman, I stock up on those items, and I try to spend as much in this community as I can possibly spend. And that's the one day I can buy supplies here close to the same cost they cost me down south to have shipped here. Amazon doesn't pay any sales tax.
Right.
My internet sales doesn't pay any sales tax.
If we did away with this, Jeff, can the community absorb the projected $20,000?
Probably.
And that we don't even know for sure that it's 20.
It may, you know, it's anywhere between 20 and 25, somewhere in that range, just that day, because they have to claim that on their returns. And whether if they didn't get that, whether they would, those sales, some of them maybe would be made at on the internet and you wouldn't even get the sale,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's no way for us to know that. So certainly there's a lot of things like just normal things people would buy that, you know, people will get their, obviously gas at the gas station and fill up my oil barrel, and those things are not going to get on the internet. So those things you lose too. And a lot of people wait for those days.
But it would reflect more of a normal day, not the sales yeah. day.
So why did this come up just as a cost-saving measure? There's no other...
Mm-hmm. That was something. We were looking at things in the budget. You know, just the state revenues in the last 2 years have reduced our general fund budget by like almost 10%. You know, we've laid off some employees, or they left and we haven't rehired. You know, two or three employees, so we're just looking at all kind of ways to tighten the belt, both revenue producing and expense reducing.
I was just going to make a statement. I can understand how this would be important to them. However, if it is something that's really important to them, it would go a long way with this assembly towards us reversing this decision for them to show up and speak their pieces at these meetings. Right now, we've just got secondhand knowledge, and it's stuff that we've heard here and heard there, and people have talked to one or two of us, but if it's really that important to them, why aren't they here?
And I will say, because I'm on the chamber board, and this is something that the chamber of commerce controls, and they request each year, and they did not object to having it changed to just 1 year, and they've chosen so far we're going to choose to have it be in the fall, so that it falls around PFD time and the holiday time.
Any further discussion? Yes.
I recognize that the local businesses have a real struggle trying to compete, and I'm not sure what the Assembly wants to do on this particular issue, but I think that I'd like to, on the next meeting, put an agenda item to discuss the potential to look at a statewide internet sales tax. And the reason why is specifically for small communities, these local businesses, it's really hard for them to compete against internet. And here we have a state that's talking about a sales tax. Sales tax would be bad for us too, because we already have such a large local sales tax. But an internet sales tax would actually be, I think, helpful to local small businesses. So anyway, that's just for discussion. We can maybe have that next meeting.
One other thought that I have is that a part of the sales tax-free day is the 7% savings, but also they have some excellent sales. And I'm wondering about, what if we run this 1 year and we take, okay, at the end we want to do some analytics and just see, you know, what people lost. Because I know it's nice to, especially on the fuel and stuff, but you're going to buy fuel regardless here. But on the other things, I think it's because it's a pretty darn good savings that they do. And so I'd be curious at the end of the day exactly how it impacted. If they had, and I don't know if they won't do that sales day now, like if they just won't do a, we used to have a sales tax day, but we don't anymore, but we're still going to sell some stuff day. But we could see how it works out. I don't know. That's just off the top of my head. I'm spitballing here, people. I wasn't in marketing.
Mr. Mayor. Like Mark said, I've had some people talk to me, merchants. In fact, manager of City Market, and Mark's right. They order, I want to say, it's in hundreds of thousands of dollars to prepare for tax-free day, okay, in sales, okay? So, and I understand what Daniel's saying, they're not here, but we're here, and we're listening to those people. So, I mean, you don't need a lot of people at meetings when they say that. You know, they talk to us, and we're supposed to bring it here. So I know it's a lot of money, and I know it's, I think that if you didn't have that tax-free day, that normal day, what would you make on a normal day in taxes on one day in the city on a normal day? $5,000 in sales tax? So I see what you're saying, by we lose $20,000 to $25,000, but I don't think you're going to make that in one day anyways unless they have that tax-free day. So I think there's a lot more to it than the $20,000 or $25,000 we lose as a city. I think there's a lot more to it at the as a merchant level of what they can bring in to make a profit on.
One thing though that I see, and I actually agree with what you said, but on the flip side of that is there is no other day of the year that the grocery stores offer a 10% across the board sales. You know, and that's a reduction that's important. And I think if the chamber or somebody wanted to get together and create a day that was, let's reduce stuff day.
That's way worse than mine.
Then I think you'd see those kinds of sales if you just did it on a selected time and you did it all collectively as a community instead of just having your Labor Day sale or whatever. But I can really say the grocery stores don't offer those kinds of reductions ever, except for on those tax-free days. But having said that, I agree with what you guys are saying. It doesn't bring in, it doesn't save that much money for our city coffers. But I still believe it's partly the 10% that they